mineral resources and energy. Our interested guest in today's meeting, you are all welcomed, and I think we do make the required and necessary quorum to proceed with the meeting. Technologies. Am I alone?
Morning, Chair.
Yes. Are there any apologies?
Nothing from my side, Chair.
Morning, Chair. Nothing from my side as well, Chair.
Except that Ari may have to go and attend to an urgent family matter. What time? 11:45?
11:45, Chair.
11:45, that's fine. But all the best for that. Honorable members, we are dealing with the issue that relates to what the committee agreed on, dealing with the issue of the terms of reference with regards to the issues that relate to the risk risk mitigation, independent power producer procurement. From that decision, we now have to deal with what is proposed as the terms of reference, but that solemnly depends to honorable members of this committee to finally say this is what they think has to be done with regards to the terms of reference. But before I say that, I know that this committee is seized with quite a number of issues that are quite pertinent to not just to this committee, not just to our economy, but to society at large. And that is one of the issues that we are supposed to tackle them in the best interest of society and our economy. But also, I know that there have been incidents that they've taken place. One of the issues that this committee is expected to grapple with is the crisis, is the fuel crisis that we continue to be confronted with, especially with then getting compounded by the miscalculations that took place. I hope when we deal with the program for the first quarter next year, we will be able to see what is it that is being suggested to be undertaken by this committee in terms of getting as much wisdom, maximum wisdom as possible. Can I then, when we deal with this issue, at the same time say that I've asked this researcher to work on what he thinks are the areas for the committee to make a determination or to guide what could be done. My greatest apology, I think, between me and the committee secretary, right, there was a complete miscommunication on apology, honorable member. It was never my intention. I thought I've spoken on the matter, but I think I was misunderstood at the level. So it might be my also take responsibility for that. But being the case as it may, the information has been forwarded to members. I will also then say I have not even myself attempted to come closer to influence this process. I'm as as innocent as all of you, because I know this is a contentious issue. It may have some degrees of emotions and other things, but there's nothing that we can push under the carpet. We have to confront issues as they present themselves. So in that regard, I've asked this researcher to work on the terms of reference, not even myself trying to tell him what he needs to do. Two, I will request that after he would have presented the what he suggested.
Recording in progress.
It's supposed to be the direction that the committee must consider. I will, in order to protect him, there will be no questions that will be asked on him. We will just have to deal with what is being presented to us. And then it's just to assist members in terms of thinking. The final decision is your decision that will have to be taken at the ultimate end. So can I then allow Sivu to, or Ari, you can flight it, and then Sivu will have to take us through, especially where it talks to the actual work that the committee is must consider doing. Is there someone who's carrying the... Yes, Sivu, can you take us through?
All right. Good morning, honorable members, colleagues and guests. Sivu Ile, researcher for the committee. I'll be taking you through, members, the document that was sent to you yesterday on the Risk Mitigation Independent Power Producer Procurement Program. As the chair has highlighted, it's just to guide the discussion of the committee, of the members. The document is divided into five sections, Section A up to Section E. Can you move up, Ari, to just Section A? I won't talk much on this one, which is Section A, which is just the background of the Risk Mitigation Independent Power Procurement Program, where the basis for it. But what I can highlight, what I think is important to highlight there is that, as members know, the program attracted about 28 28 preferred bidders. Of the 28 bidders, 11 were successful as listed here. The financial close for the 11 preferred bidders was the end of July 2021. As members would remember, that date was extended to 30 September as per the meeting of the 1st of September with the minister. That date, the committee was informed that the date had been extended to the end of September. However, currently the date has been extended again to January 2022. As members would know, there are requirements that the preferred bidders would have to meet in order for the financial close, in order to finalize the power purchase agreement. However, one would assume that given the extensions, those requirements have not been met, but at the right time, the department would be in a better position to explain reasons for the extensions. Just on the background as well, members would recall that there's lots of allegations of corruption surrounding the program. Members are aware that there's an unsuccessful bidder that took the department to court. That case was heard on the 1st of December, I think Tuesday last week, in the Pretoria High Court. The outcome we don't know yet. The court process is ongoing. There was another company that took the department to courts. However, at a later stage, withdrew their lawsuit. So, just to highlight the issues around that was just to highlight issues around the program. Section B, Ari. Section B is basically talking about the roles of the National Assembly. Basically, the message here is that the Constitution and the Rule 227 of the National Assembly empowers this committee to conduct an inquiry into any entity or institution that reports under that falls under it. So that's just Section B, the powers of the committee as per the National Assembly rules. Section C, Ari. Section C, also without going into details of the meetings, is the list of meetings the committee had undertaken or had with the department and other relevant stakeholders, which is the legal parliamentary legal service. So in total, the committee, in these meetings, the committee took resolutions. In total, the committee had held about five meetings on the risk mitigation independent program. That includes the legal advice meeting that we had with the parliamentary legal services. Can you go to number 10, Ari, point number 10. Point number 10, as members would recall, we had a meeting, the committee had a meeting on the 1st of September with the minister to respond on some of the allegations of corruption, amongst other things. In that meeting of 1 September 2021, the committee resolved that it would set a date to discuss the nature and approach of the inquiry. So the date is today, which is the deliberations on the terms of reference or discussion on what should the terms of reference look like for the committee. Number D, Section D. Section D is basically looking at what the terms of reference could look like or to assess. So the terms of reference could assess, amongst other things, the ability of the department to discharge its fiduciary duties as they relate to the program. It could look into the affordability of the program, failure to comply with procurement prescripts, could also look at governance-related issues, such as looking at the process leading up to the awarding of the successful bidders. Look at the conduct of senior managers of the department in meeting the bidders before an award was made. I must qualify this that it's an allegation. It's not factual. Until this would be heard, obviously, when the committee deliberates on the terms of reference or in the inquiry. Then the committee could look at the circumstances leading to the changing of the initial closing date of the bids, as I've mentioned above, that there's been extension in terms of financial close up until now, so that can be looked at as well. There are issues around environmental authorizations and exemptions. Some of the court cases or issues are centered around these issues, so the committee can look into this as well. It can also look at any other matter related thereto. Move on. And then point number two, the committee can the inquiry could assess the compliance into the following legislation, but key legislation is the first two, Public Finance Management and National Environmental Management Act, as well as any appropriate act applicable to the inquiry. Can you move Ari to the next point? Section E. So Section E is about the procedure that the committee may have to follow if depending on the nature and form of the inquiry it wants to conduct. So before proceeding with the inquiry, or as proposed in the previous section, the committee should agree or on the nature and form the inquiry should take. It should date on the time frames. For example, an example here is given of 120 days, so the investigation could take up to 120 days, but the time frames would be determined by the nature and the form the committee decides on. So the time frame could be 3 months, 6 months, depending on whether the committee wants to focus on a broader investigation or a focused investigation. So that would be that. Would be determined by the by the discussions of the committee. And then point E, also the committee would have to agree on whether it wants to call witnesses, if so, which witnesses. I would end this point on procedure. I would end at point at this point, which is E, whether the committee will call witnesses, if so, which witnesses. The information below that, sorry, Ari, don't move, please. The information below number E is in the event where the committee decides that it wants to call witnesses. So it's guidance on the following information is guidance on the procedure that the committee would have to follow if it were to call witnesses. And then at the end, there is also a hint on the kind of witnesses that the committee would have to call. That is if it decides to call witnesses based on the approach that it decides to take. I won't go through the information below number E, as I explained, because the committee has not yet decided on the nature. Therefore, the information below is just for guidance in the event that the committee decides to go the route of calling witnesses. In conclusion, members would notice that these terms of reference are broad. So it will be up to the committee to discuss on whether it wants to broaden or narrow the investigations. Secondly, the committee would have to decide on how it wants to conduct how the inquiry should be conducted. For example, with a broader inquiry, there might be a need to appoint an evidence leader. Or if the investigation is shortened, there may not be a need. If the investigation is focused or narrow, there may not be a need to appoint an evidence leader. Secondly, the committee will also have to decide on whether it wants to conduct the inquiry physically or virtually and where and all those things. And the last point, the committee would also have to decide on the time frames. As I've explained before, time frames will be determined by the approach the committee takes into this inquiry. Thank you very much, honorable members. I'm done, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you, Sivu. With your presentation. Ayanda, do you still have the letter from the speaker? Or Ari?
Yes, Chair, Ari will flight it.
I'll flight it now.
Yeah, you can read it too.
Thank you, Chair. So this letter is from the Office of the Speaker, addressed to you. Dear Mr. Luzupo, request for public hearings and investigation into the risk mitigation independent power producers procurement program. A submission was received from a group of concerned civil society organizations communicating their concerns about the choice of Car Power SIP as preferred bidders by the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy. The group argues that this choice of energy is expensive, has significant impacts on human rights, the climate, and the environment, provides little opportunity for local content, and undermines the just energy transition. They are of the view that selection of the Car Power SIP projects for emergency power will tie the country into fossil fuels for at least 20 years. As regards the group's request that Parliament establish an ad hoc committee to conduct an investigation into the matter and hold ministers to account. I have informed them that there is an established practice that in the event that a committee already exists to consider a matter, the establishment of an ad hoc committee should be discouraged in order to save resources. I refer the submission to your committee for consideration in terms of its mandate. Yours sincerely, Mrs. Modise, MP, Speaker of the National Assembly.
Okay. Honorable members, like I said, what Sivu was presenting, it's a guide on what the committee could do. And what I know, I must say, part of the resolution of the committee, Sivu, was that the inquiry, if it is conducted, it must be through physical presentation. That is also subject to our application being the House Chairperson. So the decision exists on physical exercise. Can I get the views? I see the hand of Honorable Mylem. Is there another hand? Is there another hand? I see the hand of Honorable Mashaule. Is there any other hand? Okay, in the absence, can I give Honorable Mylem?
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning to everybody. And thank you, Sivu, for your excellent presentation. Chairperson, I want to propose that we take a look at the terms of reference that were used in the ESCOM inquiry as a basis for procedure and process for going forward with this particular inquiry. First of all, I think that we do need to be fairly broad in our approach here, in that there are a number of different issues that arise. There's the issue of alleged corruption. There is the issue of procedural irregularities. There is the issue of financial close. There's the issue of license awarding. There is the issue of compliance with the IRP, etc. Just touching on that last, on the last couple there, I do think that the terms of reference should include an investigation, but within the inquiry, an investigation into whether or not the RMIPP complies with and is made provision for in the IRP, and whether the department is compliant in its mandate to update and manage the IRP going forward. That's the first part, Chair. The second is that I absolutely agree with you. We did take a decision to have a physical inquiry. I see no reason why that could not take place in Cape Town. I'm not quite sure why it has to take place in Pretoria or Johannesburg, but that's something I'll leave in the hands of the committee section. But certainly from a cost perspective, Parliament certainly has the facilities and the resources to conduct it physically in Cape Town. Chairperson, I want to suggest that we do call witnesses, that we avoid PowerPoint presentations, that we avoid presentations from entities. In other words, if, for example, NERSA is called to give information, that it be an individual rather than NERSA, the entity. Or if the IPP is office, then the IPP office is called, then it should be the CEO of the IPP office. I believe that in the interests of accountability, we need to start looking to individuals rather than to collective responsibility or avoiding a responsibility by saying that this is an entity's decision. We need to start looking at the individuals that are responsible for the various actions. Chairperson, then, as I indicated at the beginning, I said that I believe we should broaden the scope of this. And in that regard, I do believe that an evidence leader is necessary. And I think that we should follow the approach again adopted by the ESCOM inquiry a couple of years ago, where advocate, I think it was Verana, did a sterling job from within Parliament and from within Parliament's resources of leading evidence and establishing the facts in that matter. Chairperson, that's it for now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself, greetings to the members of the committee, greetings to those who showed interest on this matter, meaning visitors, and greetings to the staff of the Parliament, and greetings to the department. I see Advocate Mokoena. Chair, I think it doesn't get any broader than this. That's the first point I want to make. If you look at, because we have deliberated on what we're looking for before, we are not going to open it now. And the way the terms of reference are crafted, they do cover what we are looking for, because what we are looking for is what Honorable Mailer mentioned, except the last one. He mentioned at least four, ranging from alleged corruption and so forth and so forth, except the last part that he spoke about. That's what we're looking for. That is why, in the terms of reference, we agreed not to venture into whether the RMI PPP project is affordable or not. That's not our job, because the RFP that was issued to all companies that had interest was issued in the manner that it was issued. It was no longer the issue of affordability or not. It was an emergency procurement that was needed. So I don't know why we're venturing into whether it's affordable or not affordable as a committee. The second one would be the failure to comply with procurement prescript. That is what we're looking for. Part of what we're looking for is that. And the governance related issues are part of what we're looking for. I'm not sure about number four, which speaks about the environmental competition authorization and exemptions that were issued to some of the bidders, whether that's what we are looking for, or environmental affairs has already made a decision around that. So I'm just saying, Chair, to me, we have broadened them to where we, I don't think we need to expand them to. If you look at the people that are going to be called to be witnesses and so forth, some of them, I don't know why we will be calling them. But I'm open to persuasion by the committee chair that we probably need to broaden them, but I think they're broad enough to an extent where they are too broad for the committee to deal with what they are looking for. Because what we're looking for is alleged corruption, because that was what came to the committee, alleged corruption, malfeasance, and so forth. For now, Chair, I would suggest that let's look into them and probably debate further whether we need to broaden them or slightly reduce the scope. And I'm open to persuasion on this matter, Chair. Thank you.
Is there any other hand? Uh, I see Honorable Mailem wants to come, then after you, Honorable Mailem, is going to be Honorable Kula.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, I'm not going to go into affordability. I didn't mention it at all, so I don't know where that came from. Sorry, Chair, there's a background noise. Okay, I don't know where the affordability issue came from because it wasn't something that I've raised today.
Chair, on a point of order. Chairperson. Chair.
Yes, Honorable Mahlala, what's the order?
If he doesn't know where it came from the terms of reference under governance-related issues. I was not responding to him. I was responding to what I see as terms of reference that are put before us. So there's no need to respond to each other if you have not seen what the other member is talking about.
Okay, can you continue, Honorable Mailem? Can we focus on the discussion that is at hand?
Yes, Chair. Chairperson, I will indeed. Chair, the list of potential witnesses or institutions or individuals that is included in the preliminary terms of reference, there are a couple of bodies or individuals that I think that would add value here. First of all, I think that that NERSA should be included in that list. It's not. And Chair, I just wanted to touch on something that Honorable Mashwale said about environmental issues. The fact of the matter is that the awarding of these bids is conditional. Or the awarding of these contracts is conditional on the bidder having environmental approval or environmental waiver. It is within our mandate as the PCMRE on energy to investigate whether or not that has been complied with, whether or not there is any irregularity in that regard. And so I think it's very important that we look into what process was followed there and what the outcomes were of those determinations. It's certainly not second guessing the Portfolio Committee on Environmental Affairs, Forestry and Fishery. It's just really to make sure for ourselves that from our perspective, from an energy perspective, those issues were complied with and that there was proper process. Thank you, Chair.
Rabukul.
No, ndiyabulela sihlalo. Yeah, I wanted to advise Chair that because I think the best approach would be that our focus as a portfolio committee in terms of it must be on the procedure that we're going to take. And I would advise that let's deal with them in that chronological order. That first, let's agree on the terms of reference for the inquiry, whether we're amending those ones that are there or we're sticking with them as they are. Once we've concluded that process, we can then move into the form of what kind of form is the inquiry, the committee inquiry going to take, so that we deal with all those issues that are set out there under procedure, both from point A until the last point. And that we address all contagious issues of if the committee decides to call witness, what form will they take? So that we then know that on this issue we've agreed on this approach, on that issue we've agreed on this approach, rather than a member having that we become all over the place. I don't think it will help us in terms of resolving this matter. So I'm saying let's deal with them in that order, agree on the terms of reference, agree on all those issues so that we know that what direction are we taking as this committee. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, honorable members, can I try and help? That's why I didn't want to enter. Can I try and help? If my help is not helping, you are allowed also to. I think the first thing, Honorable Mellem, I must respond to, but if it needs to be done officially, the issue, if you looked at the letter of the speaker, it says there is a committee and the committee is seized with that. The response that I did give, but if it's needed official in writing, was that according to the discussion we had with the House Chairperson, there was no need for an evidence leader because most of the allegations are done within the capability of the committee. I don't know now, I can write to the House Chair, get an official response. The point though is that things would be are not waiting for us. I think let me just put that issue, that as a committee, as far as is understood, including if you read the letter, it says this committee is capable to undertake that assignment and then give reports back. But as I say, if members wants that in writing, I can then say that the committee is of this, but I thought we had resolved on the issue of the evidence leader. Secondly, I think in my view, whilst there is something that I don't think we miss is a difference of opinion by the members. I think the broader part of it, it could be an area where we still need to find a way to deal with. But the truth of the matter, which is what I thought in the last meeting, we all agreed in agreement, was that there were allegations of an attempt to corrupt the process. And those is what we even asked the Parliamentary Legal Service. And they said, proceed, even if those matters are in court. Which is why then we had to agree that with regards to the allegations of corruption, there is no doubt the committee cannot shy away from that. It has to deal with that issue. Which is why when the minister then was invited, it was specifically to also respond on the alleged attempt or whatever to corrupt the process. We then agreed that, and I agree with you, Honorable Mylem, that the issue then was that there has to be individuals who would have to be invited with regards to that specific matter. For instance, if we make an example, it is not a question that you invite someone by virtue that is occupying. You will then be able to say, this individual has this specific matter that is raised against. Now, maybe also I must clarify the issue of Johannesburg. The point was that first, it seems the majority of those who have made this allegation and those whom the allegations were made against are in Johannesburg. The incident that is alleged to have taken place to seek to influence or to manipulate the system. That incident took place in Gauteng. Thirdly, is that it is clear that we will try to make as much easier for those that we think can assist the committee in its investigation, not to find it difficult. So we go to them. Instead of, for instance, the company or the individual that is making allegation about people soliciting, if I were to use, please bear my language, people soliciting bribes, if I'm correct, I don't know. Those allegations were made by someone who is there. So to say that person must come to Cape Town and all of them, all of you were, if we follow that procedure, that says all of those were in that meeting, we want them to come and testify. And it means we will have to ask Parliament to take costs of first traveling and accommodation. But I'm not saying it may be by calculation of cost. But also you may have to go to the extent to say Are some of the allegations true? And you may have to go deeper. Let's make another example. Is it true that the restaurant on that day was closed in order for these individuals that were present, only those that were coming in there? It may not be easy to verify that information, except if you could go to the restaurant. Members might say, okay, let's go and see this restaurant first, where it's alleged that this activity took place. Let's get the manager or whoever was there to confirm who booked the hotel, the restaurant, and so forth. So that was an issue that we were managing logistics so that we may not have a problem. I think that's what we said in the last meeting about being in Johannesburg. But I agree, in the last meeting we said Johannesburg. But also that's where the incident took place in any way. But we can look at the question then whether it's not going to be too long if we expect people to come here. We also have to look, members, I doubt whether we'll have time on the issue that I think Honorable Milam is raising. Point two of that suggestion is that if individuals do not pitch up or don't want to cooperate, we may have to subpoena individuals. The question is, what if that thing happens? And I said I have an experience of that, where a person gives you reasons why I shouldn't come, and then you unfortunately, the rules say you can't say that person is wrong, but you may find that every time you put this, the person gives you a very genuine reason. What happens after that is another matter that you can't refuse. That's why I was saying, even that subpoena process is too long. I wanted to suggest, if members agree, can we maybe in the meantime, whilst we look at the broad issues, agree only on one thing, that we can't shy away from the allegations that relates to the process of attempting to manipulate or to attempts to corrupt the process. I'm not saying we throw away, then we can continue to grapple with how then do we deal with the broader issues. For an example, the issues that relate to affordability, financial viability, issues of compliance with certain sections of the law, and who can make that kind of a determination. Because that, to me, the risk is very high that there are many independent institutions, including Chapter 9 institutions, that we may express a view that okays the whole process. And those institutions may come and say, this was a flawed whatever, or an irregular a process that was followed. So I'm just saying that there is something that says a determination of what is legal or not legal can only be made by an institution of the judiciary. Parliament can only make what it thinks it can be determined. So some of the things they may be even matters that regardless of what our views are that we express on them, they will still be subject to an authorized institution to make an opinion on. So I'm just saying, is it possible that we whilst we are grappling with to how far we can go, but agree on that there is one issue that is immediate that we cannot shy away from. And that must continue whether there is a evidence leader or not, so that instead of keeping on discussing the same thing, and we realize later that they say justice delayed is justice denied, we then realize that by April next year, we are still talking about the same thing that we raised in April this year. If you look at the time frame, that is my only matter, that there are certain things that we can quickly put to rest and then say, here is what we know, but we feel that the committee has still to continue to pursue this other part with regards to the broader allegations. Is that too difficult, honorable members? It's just my opinion, I'm trying to assist. I see the hand of Honorable Lorima. Is there any other hand? Okay, Honorable Lorima.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. I'd just like to start off by complimenting this document. I think it sets everything up very, very clearly. I myself am agnostic on the location of the inquiry. I think it's sufficient that we are assessing the relative costs of each venue and that that enters into our final decision. I am slightly worried if we don't appoint an evidence leader. This is going to be quite a complex inquiry. If you look at the document, it names four major pieces of legislation that we'll be looking at, none of which are dealt with by this committee. And I think that if we don't have some sort of specialist legal help, we might get ourselves into a bit of a mess. So I would recommend that that happens. That's my main takeaway from this, Mr. Chair.
No, like I said, that one can be done, but we don't appoint an evidence leader. We are subject to our request being approved, and I'm saying we can do that officially. But the question is, if that request is declined, what do we do as a committee?
Well, if it's declined, it's declined. But I think that's something we should at least ask for.
Okay. Is there any other take, Honourable okay. Members? Yes, Honourable, is that Honourable Malinga?
Yes, Chairperson, good morning to yourself yes. And members on the platform. Apologies, Chair, just to budge in. Chairperson, maybe I am, really, I am not a legal guru. Does it mean that if we appoint or we agree or request to appoint an evidence leader, Tina, we will be spectators as the portfolio committee? Because I think an evidence leader is like in a court of law when you call people like what is happening with the unrest that took place in July. There are people who are questioning the people who are said to have done the wrong things. It means us as the portfolio, we will be just sitting and listening to the evidence leader posing questions and people answering. So it means, Tina, we won't have any role. If I may be clarified on that one, Chair.
Oh, an evidence leader is somebody who leads the evidence, and then committee members can ask questions. But like I said, I don't have anything. I was looking at the committee. It means we will still again have to come back and report what is the issue with regards to the matter of the evidence leader. I don't think it's a difficult matter. But all I was saying is that it may have implications on the agents, because then if we take that exercise, can we then leave the issue of the terms of reference? Because we can't do terms of reference and then bring in the evidence leader and then bring the evidence leader on the basis of what we have set up as terms of reference.
Chair?
Yes, sir.
Chairperson, thank you. So just a couple of points. First of all, the evidence leader would be required to structure the for want of a better word, the case for the committee. In other words, to provide a framework on which for this committee to evaluate whether the facts are substantiated or not. You're 100% correct in that once the evidence leader has provided the initial input and subjected the witness or witnesses to questions, the committee would then have the opportunity to ask whatever questions they desire. And again, I'm going to refer to the ESCOM inquiry in 2017, where the committee questions often went far, far longer than the evidence leader's questions and unearthed a lot of information and evidence that later formed part of the Zondo Commission. Chairperson, just as far as whether or not we should decide whether we get an evidence leader before we finalize the terms of reference, I don't believe that's the case. The terms of reference basically provide a scope for the committee. And I'm quite happy with the terms of reference as have been provided here, subject to the inclusion of the compliance with the IRP and the NERSA regulatory process, the NERSA licensing process being included in that discussion. But apart from that, I don't think that we need to have a decision as to whether or not we have an evidence leader before we finalize those terms of reference. In fact, I think it would benefit us to approve the terms of reference before that decision is taken, because it then gives the evidence leader a framework in which he or she has to operate and lead the case. Thank you, Chairperson.
I don't want to end the discussion, Honorable Mylan, but I was saying I would rather be on the safe side. We cannot, for an example, Honorable Lorena says, some of the pieces of legislation that are raised there are quite intense and have got no relevance to the committee. Now, if you were to get that person who has got legal brains, that person may also find that what you are presenting for him is like straight targeting. I always say it's like appointing someone and then say, do this. Mm. And my understanding was that part of the work of the evidence leader is also to look precisely on what these terms of reference are and whether they meet the scope of leading evidence. I'm not saying, but if members want us to discuss the terms of reference and then invite someone to work on something that is already, is to me, it's like we're bottlenecking someone saying, yeah, where we want you to go to. But the matter whether evidence leader or not, I'm saying I'm quite comfortable. I'm very much uncomfortable to then prescribe, to put that person on something that the committee has already made a determination on. That was the context of what I understood, that for instance, again, you may have to go, I can't agree on the ESCOM inquiry because to the best of my knowledge, the evidence leader was part of the crafting of the terms of reference. So if someone comes back tomorrow and say, but why now in this case you are doing it differently from the ESCOM inquiry? My understanding was that there was an agreement first on the issue of an evidence leader. Then terms of reference were then put in place, obviously approved by the committee that was dealing with the matter in terms of the ESCOM inquiry. But let me get other members, what is their feeling on this matter? I see the hand of Honorable Mahlaule and then Honorable Kula.
I did mention when I was making a submission that I'm open to persuasion. And to me, it seems like what we seem to be debating now may actually be neither here nor there. I don't see us having a problem, whatever approach we take, from what I'm gathering now, whether we take the terms of reference as they are, whether we adopt the length of the inquiry as it is, whether we are in Joburg or we're in Cape Town, though I would prefer to be in Gauteng, because that's where the complainants and people involved are. really, whether evidence leader or not, I mean, we'll still ask questions like Honorable Malam has mentioned. So, Chair, I so wish that we can just put this to rest and move on. I mean, however we do it, to me, it seems let's just put this into rest and move on with our lives. It has been coming a long way that we have been back and forth about it to an extent where, and I understand why you have not wanted to involve yourself in the drafting of the terms of reference, because Even out there in the media, there has been a perception that some of us are defending whatever is alleged to have happened. And I'm just thinking maybe it's time we allow it to run the way it has been crafted by the research. As an independent person that I know I have not influenced, I know you have not influenced. So let's move on. Let's move on with this thing. Thank you.
Honorable Kola.
Thanks once again, Salo. And I must say that I agree fully with Honorable Masalo that I think at one stage we need to allow the matter to run so that it reaches its final conclusion and that is then able to be drawn into a close, because I think it has dragged on for far too long. What I don't agree with, Chairperson, is that whether evidence leader or not, it can be that we just say that there must be an evidence leader. We must be given, there must be a convincing motivation given to this committee. Why must you appoint an evidence leader? Because you have said it yourself, Chair, I think the committee is well capable of handling this matter without the evidence leader. I think we can be able to deal with this matter on our own. I don't think there's been a compelling argument made thus far for us to have an evidence. I don't think that it has happened. So I would want those who are moving strongly that we must have an evidence, must be able to persuade some of us as members of this committee, why do we need an evidence leader? How is it going to help us? What role is the evidence leader going to do different, which we can do ourselves? Because I think we are capable as this committee of unearthing, of addressing all the concerns that are there from the first until the last. I think we are quite capable. So I don't see a need. I think, Chef, I would give those who are moving for an evidence layer to persuade some of us, right? Why do we need it? Where I stand, I don't think we need an evidence layer. I strongly believe that on our own, we can be able to deal with this matter. As long as we agree on the terms of reference and the form the inquiry is going to take, I think we'll be able to deal with this matter. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to the members of the committee and everyone that is part of this meeting. I think, Chair, my submission really would be that whether we agree on having an evidence leader or not, it is very important that as a committee, we do have like some sort of a framework that they must work on. And as discussing whether we are adopting the terms of reference as they are or whether we are amending them, I think it is very important. I do not think that would literally be bottlenecking the evidence leader if we decide on one, but rather just giving them guidance that as the committee, this is what we are looking into. And then you can also amend and also present to the committee that this would work and this would not work. I am also find the suggestion of having an evidence leader quite attractive. And that is primarily because even when we seized with the matter at the very first time, we did, as the committee said, that look, we are not really sure. We have to go and refer the matter to get legal advice from Parliament. And because of how complex and how sensitive the matter before us is, I think it is also extremely important that we do get someone that is not only neutral, but also is quite experienced in dealing with such matters, so that we do not, as you have said, Chairperson, in April or June next year, we're still dealing with the same issue because we maybe made some blunders here and there. And also just absorbing from the conversation we're having or the debates that we're having right now, where we've literally spent almost an hour on just basics. I am not in any way undermining the committee and its capabilities, but I'm of the view that let's maybe get someone that will deal with who is used to dealing with inquiries to lead. And that also means that because if we have an evidence leader, that does not close us in any way as committee members from participating and also asking questions and also doing our own investigations. And also, I think I'm not sure if we have spoken on the time frame. I did see that I think the suggestion was roughly 120 days. I think if we could actually look into 3 months at most, dealing with the inquiry, that would assist us a lot, because the committee actually has a lot of other matters that it is seized with, which we have not nearly even grappled or scratched the surface on. So we should not literally spend so much time on the issue. We should actually try to close it as soon as possible. Thank you very much.
Okay. I see the hand of Honorable Volmarans.
Thanks, Chairperson, and good morning to all members on the platform and then the department. Chair, I think going direct to the document that is before us, I'm of the view that there are about 4 or 5 sections within this document, and the better part of it is about the background of where the matter started, which we all agree. And on D, we start with the terms of reference. From where the discussion is like we have already have an understanding of getting through with it, which I support the terms of reference as they are, because when you look at D1, with all that is stipulated under A, you also have Roman figure 5, where it deals with any other related matter, which covers a lot of points that we have been grappling with as the process goes on. But when we get to the procedure E, I'm also comfortable with it because it gives background. Actually, some of the issues that are discussed here give credence to the letter that we have received from the speaker. So that is also a good point of departure. What I wanted to check on, and I agree with not exceeding the 120 days. Actually, if it was running right through, it would just take us about 60 days. Then where the procedure says, if the committee decides to call witnesses, the following procedure is recommended. You know, it's just a recommendation I see there. I don't think it is a given. Okay. Then there's bullet point 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It says witnesses will not be allowed to cross-examine other witnesses. But must be afforded an opportunity to make representations on the draft committee report before it is adopted by National Assembly. The principle of natural justice shall apply to the proceedings of the inquiry. With my little understanding or limited understanding, I think maybe I need an explanation. The fairness of witnesses not cross-examining other witnesses and waiting for us to finish and when the bus would have moved on. If clarity can be given there, my suggestion was that witnesses should be allowed to cross-examine other witnesses as the process goes, but I'm open to any clarification that will come through. But by and large, Chairperson, with all that has been stipulated, I think, as we had agreed in previous meetings, that we should be taking this route. I am quite comfortable with the terms of reference as they are at the moment. Thanks, Chairperson.
I see again the end of Honorable Mylan.
Chairperson, thank you. If I could just comment on what Honorable Vormerans has just said about witnesses cross-examining other witnesses. I would remind the committee that this inquiry is for us to ascertain facts, and it's not a judicial inquiry. It's not a judicial process. It is a process for us to reach an opinion as a committee as to what happened and whether there should be changes to the procedure or whether there should be consequences within the department or whatever recommendations we may come to as a committee. But to suggest that we should allow cross-examination of witnesses by other witnesses opens the door to an entirely different process and makes us akin to a judicial process, which I think would be problematic in the extreme. So I would strongly urge that we don't go down that route. Thank you, Chair.
It seems to me there is a general agreement on the issue, and if I'm wrong, there is general agreement on the issue of the terms of reference. Except that I don't know which option in the text was. It gives also that if the committee does this, this is what it focuses on. That's the first issue. But I think I don't think broadly accepting the terms of reference, according to what members are saying, is something that the committee concedes to and is recommending, is agreeing on the terms of reference. Two, the point that I don't want us to go, the point that it seems though the members that says they need the evidence data is that the first is a person who has got a legal background, who would have had an experience of inquiries, who would understand the legal challenges as far as even the legislation is concerned. Lastly, it's someone who could assist to make the committee to be seen to be much more objective on how it deals with a matter of this nature. And that will be subject again, that's what I was saying, it will be subject to what we would have submitted as motivation. Then we will come back, I'll come back to the committee with regards to the issue of the response, but also on the question that members are saying, I think for me, the degree of flexibility should be on the basis that the committee must try and do everything that is as cost effective, but also that can assist in the facilitation of a process that will be in line with the recommended time frame. That then we leave the question whether it's Gauteng, whether it's Cape Town, whether any of the eight things that would be convenient for the speedy processing of this exercise, but at the same time, that will be as cost efficient as possible. Can we live with that, honorable members?
Agreed.
There is an good honorable Lord. My lamb is saying he's comfortable with that. He's moving. Is there anyone who seconds?
Second, Chair.
Okay. Seconded. Is there anyone who's objecting? One, two, three. The matter is settled. Can you go to the next item, Ari? Can't be the minutes. Where is the program?
Do the program then, Chair.
Eh? Yes, can you take us through whoever? Ayanda or Ari?
That's fine, Chair. So this is the draft program for the first term for 2022. As members are aware, from 17 to, where is it now? 29 January, the public hearings in the provinces relating to the gas amendment bill. Members have that info. Then on Tuesday, the 22nd of February, the plan is to have a colloquium or energy stakeholder meeting on fuel prices in South Africa. Friday the 25th, responses by the Department of Mineral Resources and Energy on the written submissions received on the gas amendment law. Those oral submissions we received on 13 November and last Friday's submissions, the 3rd of December. Then on Tuesday the 1st, we'll start with deliberations on the gas amendment bill. Friday, the 4th of March, briefing by the Auditor General of South Africa on the audit outcomes of the outstanding entities, which are SEF, NEXA, and SADPMR. Also, the briefings by those respective entities on their annual reports for 2020-21. Members will recall that this is one of our recommendations in the BRRR. From Tuesday the 8th, Friday the 11th, Tuesday the 15th, deliberations on the gas amendment. Friday the 18th, consideration and adoption of the committee report on the gas amendment bill. Tuesday the 22nd, also. This was one of the recommendations in the meeting we had when we had the briefing on the High Court judgment on the mining charter, briefing by Mancosa, Labour, etc., on the impact of the High Court judgment in relation to the mining charter. Then on Friday the 25th, again, one of the recommendations as included in the BRRR, briefing by the DMRE on its implementation action plan, including of its entities, to address the findings and recommendations of the Auditor General of South Africa. And then briefing by the DMRE on their first, second, and third quarterly performance reports for 21-22. Then the week of 29 March to 1 April has been set aside for committee's oversight. And here we've put in the inquiry into the risk mitigation IPP. Then in a constituency period is from 4 to 14 April, say. So that is the draft first term program for 2022, Chair. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, honorable members, there is the proposed program subject to approval, but also subject to the consistency of the parliamentary program. Is there any comment? Let me check. I see the end of Honorable Mailem. Is there any other end? Okay, go ahead, Honorable Mailem.
Chair, I just have one concern, and that is that there were some recommendations in our BRRR that haven't been pulled through as far as I can see. The one related to forensic reports and a quarterly reporting on consequence management, as I recall. And the other was on, forgive me, it's slipping my mind. It was also quarterly reporting on implementation of the audit action plans. Has that been covered?
Can you go down, Ari? There is somewhere where it says the implementation of the action plan, including of its entities, okay, to address the findings and recommendations of the Auditor General.
Okay. Okay. So then
maybe we should add and other issues relating to forensic outcomes, not just the AG. I think that's what you are trying to say.
Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Is there any other hand? Is there a move off the program?
Chair, I move for the program to be adopted, Chair.
Any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Is that Honorable Matobe?
Yes, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Can we then go to the next item, then your minutes, Ari? Okay. Let's go past attendance.
Sorry, Chair.
Yes, Honorable Mailem.
Chair, I wasn't in attendance on the 3rd of December. I submitted an apology.
Yes, I remember, you are correct. In fact, we should reflect on our apologies.
It does reflect already.
Yes, yes, yes. Now I see. It's reflecting, yes, on apologies. Okay. And then let's go down. Ari, your 3.1 is not stating what is it. It just says outstanding minutes 31st. I thought there was something which we said, I'm not sure which one, which we said either on the minutes of the 31st August, yes. So that I can't remember what is it that we said it must remain as an outstanding matter. Oh, okay. I see where you it is. Yeah. There it is. No. Yes, go down. Yes, on the matters arising. That's okay. I think it was the 0.1. It was 4.1 that I was looking for. Okay. Number four, then let's go to five. Is there any move of the minutes? Except Honorable Mailem. Is there any move of the minutes?
I move, Chair.
Is that Honorable Volmaraz?
Correct, Chair.
Okay, any seconder?
I second, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Mashaule. Seconded. Any matters arising? Okay, in the absence of matters arising, is there any other item, Ari?
None, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Members, thank you very much. This is our last meeting of the year. Let's meet again next year and have a very good festive season. Let's keep safe. The situation is getting tense outside. I hope all of us will have a good festive period until we meet next year. Members, we've sent, I think, I under the tentative dates. They are subject to approval by the House Chairperson, and then when they are confirmed. We request members to please confirm whilst we're still on time, their availability and their point of departure. On so that the necessary arrangements can be made. On that note, thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned. Have a good journey, whoever goes where. See you next year. Thank you very much.
Don't leave the chair.
Thank you, Chair.
Bye-bye.